Reach for your Bibles, everybody. Everybody, reach for your Bibles. Turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. Did anybody stay up late last night watching the election? Yeah, we stayed up for a little while, then we gave up. Amen. Just want to let everybody know, this is just so important, so important. God is still on his throne. I want everybody to know that. We don't look to man, we're looking to God. And so let's just get over that. Amen. Praise God. So Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 24. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the name of Jesus. We thank you for the communion service we've just had. Thank you for those great anthems of praise that we sang at the beginning. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is here today to minister to people. And Father, we pray right now over our ears. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to each one of us today. I pray, Lord, when we go home, we'll go home better than the way we've come in. Lord, we want to go home filled with the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord, for your presence. And Lord, as we go through your word, speak to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, and to verse 27, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, speaking to himself, he said, will come again with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. May God bless that reading to us. Aussies love sport. Watching the elections last night, it was like watching a football game, wasn't it? Watching the score and the comments by the commentators. I think it's a bit of an understatement to say that sport is a big part of Aussie culture. Aussies love sport. And in 6 weeks' time, I think it's 6 weeks, 5 weeks, the world will come together, won't they, to compete at Rio for the Olympics. And hopefully they won't get bitten by mosquitoes while they're there. There's deadly mosquitoes there. The major sporting countries of the world, which would include Australia, they will all set targets for the number of gold medals that they intend to win. And a huge amount of preparation has already been done for the Olympics, and a lot of money has been spent into preparing our Aussie athletes to compete at the Olympics and to perform at their best. In fact, these days, the preparation of an athlete is a science. Besides all the training that they do, the athletes also stick to a strict diet of food designed by experts to get the most out of that athlete's body. I recommend cheesecake, amen. That gets the most out of my body. But in addition, that's why I'm not an athlete. But in addition, the athletes also spend time on developing mental toughness and a positive mental attitude. They have psychologists who train their minds as well as their bodies. And they do all of this disciplined preparation in order to give themselves a fighting chance at winning a medal, a gold medal in particular, and a place in sporting history. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we all have to admire an athlete's commitment to this sport, don't we? I admire it. I think it's just incredible, But we all know here today that if you want to succeed in life, then you have to put the hard yards in. That's how it works. If you want to succeed at life, you've got to put the hard yards in. That's why some of you here at Real Life Church, you're studying. You know that you need a degree or some qualification in order to get a job because, the competition's tough out there. And so you discipline yourself to study, and it takes a lot of discipline to study. And I say, well done to you if you're studying. And may God bless your efforts and hard work. Thank God that we live in such a great country where we can study like we do. We live in a privileged country that offers us so many opportunities to thrive in life. Ladies and gentlemen, you might not have liked the way the election went last night, but there was no violence associated with it. There was no death threats associated with it. Thank God that we live in a peaceful country like Australia, where we can do these things. And Australia offers to us so many opportunities to thrive in life. for us to be successful and to pursue our dreams. And invariably, if you put some effort and hard work into improving yourself, you will get the rewards here in Australia. Am I right, everybody? I'm just laying a bit of a foundation for what I really want to say, but I think what I'm saying is absolutely true. Thank God for Australia. Amen. Don't take it for granted. And I truly wish, and I mean this sincerely, I truly wish great reward, success, and joy to each and every one of you here today. May God bless the work of your hands. Businesses here, may God bless your businesses. God bless your studies. God bless you. However, we need to wisely keep our goals, our dreams, and our life focus in proper perspective in order to truly succeed. Because you know, you could put a lot of hard work into life and you might succeed, but it might not be the success you're looking for. I spoke to a man, a friend of mine, who said, he was in my lounge room one time, we were talking about these things, and with what he did with his life and does with his life, he said to me, in all, he wasn't bragging, but he says, I've climbed to the top of my field. I've worked hard, and I know he works hard. He's got a good work ethic. He's got contacts. He's made the right connections. And he actually has succeeded. But then he said this to me. He says, but then I got to the top, and I looked around, and there was nothing there. It seemed like, in some respects, he'd been chasing the wind. It didn't deliver what he thought it would. Interestingly, for our benefit, Jesus Christ continually puts life into the right perspective. And on one occasion, and we've just read that one occasion, he simply asked two powerful questions that speak volumes about the priorities of life and are worth our consideration this morning. Jesus asked in Matthew 16:26, question number one, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Question number two, is anything worth more than your soul? Great questions, everybody. Everything you do and aim for in this life has to be considered in the light of eternity. And that is because you will live for eternity. You will never be extinguished. Your soul will never be extinguished. But your achievements, your possessions, your ambitions, as noble as they all may be, they're just temporary and for this life only. Sometimes we forget that. Nonetheless, Jesus is not implying by these two searching questions that you should not enjoy success in your job, marriage, finances, or hobbies. But Jesus was saying that all the stuff of life that is so important to us today is worthless rubbish if we do not pay attention to our soul. I've got a very unusual job. A really strange job that, to be honest with you, no, I won't be honest with you. Okay. I got a very unusual job. What I'm trying to say is often, you know, you can go to Bible college. I didn't go to Bible college. I've done some studies. But they don't really prepare you for it. You have to figure it out yourself. And I'm still trying to get used to it. But being a pastor is both a calling. I understand that. It's also my job. I'm employed here at the church. It's what I do. And as part of what I do, I'm honored to perform baby dedications. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. I officiate at weddings. Weddings are okay. But I have the privilege of conducting funerals. Give me a choice between a wedding and a funeral. I'll always choose the funeral. I enjoy doing funerals more than weddings. Over the years, I've conducted countless funerals. You know, I can remember when I first did my funerals and being so nervous. And since then, I've conducted so many funerals over the years. I've conducted funerals for people in our church. I've conducted funerals for people in the community who don't come to our church. Over the years, I've been with numerous people in their last hours. I've sat with them. And I consider that to be a real precious privilege and not to be taken lightly with somebody who's about to go to be with the Lord. I've conducted happy funerals. I've seen funny things happen at funerals. that weren't meant to happen. And that's that. I've conducted very sad funerals, funerals where I have to really concentrate to keep check of my own emotions. I can't afford to lose it, and because I'm sad at what's happened myself, and I don't have the answers, and they expect you to say something, and that's hard. I've conducted funerals with hundreds of people in attendance. I've conducted funerals with just a handful of people. I've conducted funerals for Christians, and I've conducted funerals for non-Christians, and I can tell you right now, I prefer Christian funerals. You know, over the years, I've seen it all, and it has had an effect on the way I look at life. These funerals, because I've learned that death is the great leveler. For when you're about to pass from this life and into the next life, suddenly your fame, business success, wealth, past achievements, possessions and ambitions, they're just no longer important. In fact, it's not that they are no longer important, but to a person who's in their last hours, those things suddenly become ridiculously trivial when they're about to go and meet their maker. And so with these two questions in Matthew 16 that you've got on the screen there, Jesus was warning us that every kind of achievement in life, no matter how fulfilling it is at the time, is actually utterly pointless if you lose your soul. Christians die different to non-Christians. I just want everybody to know that. Christians die with hope. Amen? You don't want to lose your soul. So Jesus is implying with these questions that true success and true wealth is only when you make it through those pearly gates of heaven after slipping from this life into the next. And conversely, true failure is when, it doesn't matter how much money you died with, true failure is when you don't make it through those pearly gates of heaven. That's called losing your soul. Starts in this life, but that's the ultimate, that's where it finishes up. You lose your soul. You didn't make it through the pearly gates. So what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And the answer to that question is no. Nothing is more important to you than your soul. And you can only know God and make it through those pearly gates of heaven by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God the Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 12, whoever has the Son, that's Jesus, has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. You can know God and be right with God by having Jesus Christ in your life. We celebrated that a bit this morning, haven't we? And that starts today. Because if you don't know God in this life, and then you die, then you won't get to know God in the next life. If you want to know God in the next life, you have to know Him in this life first. And we know Him through Jesus Christ. And then you will be able to say that God has restored your soul. So there's nothing wrong with working harder. I'm all for that, you know, and building a good life. Absolutely. In fact, God wants you to thrive according to your abilities. We've all got different gifts and abilities. But your life will only be a truly profitable and truly successful life if it's done with a healthy soul first. Indeed, real success starts with a healthy soul first. And the person who pays attention to their soul, pays attention to being right with God, will then live under the favor of God, and they will thrive wherever they're actually planted in life. God will bless that person, the work of that person's hands. God will give them peace. God will give them strength, and He will be their wisdom. He will be their rock and their refuge. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. What's the King James version of that? How does it say it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Man, a lot of Christians here today, man. Must be in church. Praise God. Message version of that passage. Really interesting. It says, "But you." This is the Message Bible. It says, "But you know both God and how He works." And then he says this: "Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Keep your soul right with God, and He will meet your daily needs." Amen. I'm actually still headed somewhere, so stay with me. But does this make sense, what we're talking about right now? See, most people live their lives back to front. Everybody, most people in my life, actually, they live their lives back to front. Most people will give little consideration to their soul and to God. They launch into life doing what they do, hoping to have some measure of happiness, but they neglect their soul. But Jesus puts life back around the right way again, doesn't he? And he says, seek God first, put God first, and there will be a flow and effect of divine favor upon your life, and God will give you everything you need. So it raises a question for everybody here today. How is your soul going? How's your soul going? Is it well with your soul? Is your soul neglected, or are you keeping a healthy soul? Can you sing the old hymn, or at least sing the guy who wrote it? He says that song. Who remembers that song? It's Well With My Soul. Incredible, incredible hymn. Now, you may have made some poor choices in life. We've all done that. Who's made some poor choices? And that's, of course, not referring to the person next to you who you married or anything like that, right? I mean, yeah, just be careful with those questions. We've all made poor choices. You may have had your fair share of failure and tragedy, and you may have hurt others and been hurt by others. But if you've made your soul right with God, then heaven knows your name. And that's what counts. So when you enter eternity, it won't matter that your business failed. It won't matter that your marriage failed, as devastating as that was. It won't matter whatever else you've experienced in life, your fault or somebody else's. It no longer matters. And it won't matter because your soul is right with God, and the blood of Jesus washes away all your sin and heals all your hurts. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. So how's your soul, everybody? Is it well with your soul? Now, one of the tougher aspects, I've never said this before to you, but I'm going to be a bit frank with you today, even though my name's David. One of the tougher aspects to my job is to keep you all on the straight and narrow road to those pearly gates. Please don't be offended by me saying that. But sometimes, folks, I find it really hard these days to keep the saints of God on the straight and narrow. And it's harder to keep the saints of God on the straight and narrow way because there are so many distracting voices speaking to us. Ideas, opinions, options that vie for our time, our thinking, our attention, and our soul health becomes affected by these things if we're not careful. And your soul is really important to care for. Your salvation and walk with Jesus is your responsibility, not mine. But as a pastor, I will keep trying to stir you up to keep your soul healthy. That's what I try to do every Sunday. And you know, when we have conversations, so that you stay the course. Don't move off the course. Stay the course. You've got to make sure you get through those pearly gates in eternity. And you think, oh, it's not going to happen for years. I've buried a lot of people who thought the same thing. So hence this message today. Now, the Bible says that we all have to stand before Almighty God and give an account of how we have lived, and our deeds will be judged. We read that a few moments ago. But I want to give you a Bible verse I've never given in church. Hebrews 13, verse 17. This is what the Bible also says. Obey, which actually means to be persuaded by your spiritual leaders. In other words, let me persuade you and do what they say. I really like that bit. Nice for somebody to do it, but it's a nice bit. But then he says this, in all seriousness, their work is to watch over your souls. There's that word again. And they're accountable to God. And then it says this, give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. So according to this verse, and I don't find that verse particularly pleasant because it says, I'm also accountable to God regarding my ministry to you. And I find that a little bit frightening. And so I take this really very, very seriously. So I'm asking you all today, could you please help me out by paying attention to your soul? Please. just as God puts great value upon you and your eternal destiny upon your soul, could you also continue to persevere and pay attention to the continued health of your soul? Show true value for yourself by continuing to put God first, making His priorities, His instructions, His principles your primary concern in every area of your life. Would you do that? Matthew 6:33, and while you're doing that, you're not going to miss out. Don't worry about missing out, because you'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Amen? Yeah. Now, a number of years ago, and Rochelle and Ken, you can remember this. I don't know if you came with us, Trish, but we were fortunate enough to have a tour of the Abraham Lincoln. Remember, that's the Abraham Lincoln on the screen there, when it came into Fremantle a few years ago. Anybody else come with me for that tour? Gary, Melva, yeah. Actually, it was because of you that we're able to go. It was phenomenal. We had a specialized tour of the Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier, and it was a phenomenal experience. And, you know, I learned so many life lessons by having a guided tour of one of the world's most formidable fighting machines. That is a scary machine that you've got on the screens there right now. I don't know how many airplanes they've got on there, but it was scary to see the power of that thing. And one of the things that surprised me was the attention given to the basics of running a ship of that size. Kind of took me by surprise. After months at sea, the sailors, and they could stay out for a long time at sea, has two nuclear-powered engines or something, so it could stay out there just about forever. And but when they went home, the sailors would have 30 days off. They would have a month off. And so after a month, even though they'd been at sea for 6 months, after a month, they would come back. But the sailors had to relearn the basics. They had to learn about safety. They had to learn about how to run the ship. And everybody had to be retrained, including even the officers as well. They already knew how to do that stuff. They could teach anybody else how to do that stuff, but they had to be retrained. And they did this because they had to keep their skills sharp and focused on the basics of their profession. There's something else I didn't. I remember them. I met a pilot. We remember some of the fighter pilots. And we're talking with them. And even when they're having a break, every day a fighter pilot has to fly one of his planes. They couldn't have a day off. If they missed 3 days, they were banned from flying at night and had to start their retraining to keep their skills really, really sharp. And no one, the sailors don't complain about this. Now, oh, I've heard all this stuff before. I don't need to learn it again, because they know that their lives could one day depend upon their training. Right now, every Olympic athlete is focused for Rio. But every athlete knows the importance of paying attention to the fundamentals and basics of their sport. The athlete knows that once they're actually in the race, once they're actually competing, if they try to do something fancy and just neglect the fundamentals of their game plan, they will risk losing their race or whatever the sport is. Athletes discipline themselves to stick with the fundamentals and the basics at all times and build on them. That's how you win. That's what they're telling me. I don't know, because I'm not an athlete, amen. But that's what they say. And you have to stick with the basics and refuse to be distracted by your opponents. That's what your opponent will try and do. Get you off your game plan. And it's the same for us Christians when it comes to keeping our souls healthy. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Our basics are simple. We also have fundamentals. We have basics. It's not rocket science to keep your soul healthy. But if you vary from the basics, you will stumble. We've got three key basics that are so important to keep our game plan of keeping our souls healthy. But if you vary, your opponent will have a shot at you. We spoke about spiritual warfare last week. Basic number one. And you're going to say, you keep talking to us about this? Absolutely, 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 I do. And we'll keep at it. Read your Bible, please. 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 Please, just read your Bible. Sometimes people come to my office and people say,
and if I look at you, it's accidental, and if this is you who came to my office to say this.
But people say, oh, God told me to do this, God told me to do that. And I go, oh yeah, that's interesting. And then I'll say, how's your Bible reading going? Oh, I'm really struggling with that. Oh, see, not reading Bible, but God's really speaking it clearly. Okay, I just, can't we see a little bit of a disconnect going on there? You know, it's just, can I just say this? Be really careful when you say God told you to do something. Be really careful. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Make sure you've got it right before you start quoting, God's told you to do something to me, all right? Don't view Bible reading as your optional activity, but consider it a daily necessity for your soul. And if you struggle reading, I get that. There's audio options, you know. And the Bible's a big book. It really is, you know, of 800,000 words in it. And so you've got to read it methodically. And you read it bit by bit. You can't read the whole book in one setting, but bit by bit. And the many Bible reading plans you can use. We even have some of these plans under the resource tab on our church website. The point is, just read your Bible. Just read it. Don't ever stop reading your Bible. Just read it. Read it when you're happy. Read it when you're sad. Read it when you're in a happy mood or a bad mood. Just read your Bible. Read it when you feel God, and read it when you can't feel God. Read it when you feel you need it for spiritual warfare, and read it when everything's going well. Just read the Bible when it makes sense, and just keep going even when the Bible doesn't make sense. Just read it. And find a time to read your Bible that works for you, and stick with it until you breathe your last and until I bury you. Amen. Read your Bible. Make it a habit. Make it a discipline. No excuses. Get up. Read your Bible. Because that's what keeps your soul healthy. Simple. Just read your Bible. Don't understand it? Who cares? Just read your Bible. Basic number two. Pray to God in the name of Jesus. Basic number two. Pray. Just pray. Find a time to pray. And here's a prayer plan. Really simple. Because I know people struggle with this. I understand that. It doesn't have to be long, 10 minutes. But start off with some praise and thanksgiving. Then pray for other people. Then pray for yourself. Say thank you and then go. How hard is that? It doesn't take long. But regular prayer is powerful and important for the continued health of your soul. And you may even hear God speaking to you. And don't wait for the anointing. People talk so much rubbish. Don't wait for the anointing and a good feeling before you pray. Just pray. Every day. Pray, pray, pray. No excuses. Value the health of your soul. Just pray. Most times I pray, I've got no anointing. But I know I've got God's ear. You know, sometimes when I'm praying, the anointing then comes. Basic number three. Come to church as often as you can. That's revolutionary these days. It's what we do. Doesn't matter if the weather is good or bad. We come. Doesn't matter if we stayed up late the night before watching the election. We come. We've been, but we come. We don't try to come. Don't try to come to church. Just come to church. Don't tell me you're going to try. Just come. We discipline ourselves. I actually have got a nice shirt on today. And I make sure I'm here for church every Sunday. And to help me, I always iron my church the night... iron my shirt the night before. Because I always think, what if the electricity goes off in the morning? I get ready. We come and praise God together. We hear a message. We bless others and we choose to be part of the church community. And the health of your soul is connected to your church. So how can you continue to keep your soul healthy? I'm finishing now. We keep our souls healthy by doing the basics, just like the Olympic athletes do, and just like those sailors do on the Abraham Lincoln. We don't vary from the basics. We don't vary. We don't go to the left. We don't go to the right. You know, we don't vary because it's important for our souls that we don't vary. 1 Corinthians 9:25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So we stick with the basics. It's what we do. We read our Bibles. That's the end of it. We pray. We come to church. And that's just how it is. And just like Nike said, just do it! And on that day, when you walk through those pearly gates in heaven, you'll be glad that you stuck with the basics in the good times and in the tough times. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And the answer is, let's stand to our feet, shall we? Let's just pause. The service is just going to finish in just a moment or two. So let's just pause before God. Great questions, those two questions of Jesus Christ. And so let's think about those questions and ask ourselves the question is, how is my soul? How is my soul? How's your soul? Is it well with your soul? Are you right with God? If you don't know God in this life, you won't know him in the next. If you'd like to be right with God, then Jesus Christ is the key. Could everybody just pray right now? Let's just close our eyes and pray. Whoever has a son has life. Whoever does not have God's son does not have life. Is it well with your soul? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Where would you go if you were to breathe your last today? It's a terrible question, I guess, in some ways, isn't it? We don't want to think about those things, but it's probably the most important question for us to think about. If today you're not right with God, I want to just give you a simple opportunity. Don't want to twist your arm up your back. It's just an opportunity to get right with God today. If you're not walking with God, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never had your sins forgiven, here's an opportunity to get right with God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you today saying, yes, I want to be right with God, please allow me to pray for you. Just raise your hand and actually move your hand when you raise it. Wave it at me and I'll pray for you today. It's just an opportunity. Do you want to get right with God today? God bless you down the back. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Actually, a couple of people down the back. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? For everybody else who's standing here, how are you going with the basics? How's the opponent been treating you? Has he been trying to get your eye off the ball? Has he been buffeting you, trying to get you to change your game plan? Come on, let's just get back to the basics. Just get back to the basics. This week, say, yep, this week, it's going to be a change. It's going to be adjustment. I'm staying on the straight and narrow. For the sake of my soul, I'm staying on the straight and narrow. Father, firstly, we just pray for those down the back, Lord, who've just raised their hands. They want to be right with God. And Lord, you want them to be right with you. And Lord, we just pray for them. We bless them. And we pray your love right now be poured into their hearts. Pray, forgive them of their sins. And we pray, Jesus Christ, that you'll be big in their lives. Forgive them, cleanse them. We pray a fresh start for them today. We pray that they will be born again today. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Pray for the rest of us, all of us, me, my brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to keep the straight and narrow. In these dark times, uncertain times, Lord, help us to keep our eye on the ball, keep our eye on the prize. We don't want to veer to the left or the right. We want to run the course all the way. Lord, we've come this far. We don't want to blow it, Lord. We want to keep going. Lord, help us, Lord, to maintain the basics. In season, out of season, when we're up, when we're down. Lord, we want to stick to the basics. We want to keep our souls healthy. I pray for my brothers and sisters today. I pray the blessing of Almighty God upon each person. I pray for good soul health here at Real Life Church. Help us to put you first, your priorities before our own priorities, and thus honor you. Lord, we pray that for one another and for Real Life Church. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said, amen. Yeah. Can we praise God? Come on, you want to lead us? Come on, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.